Welcome to the Full Press Packers Pod, part of Full Press Coverage. My name is Kyle Senra, and joining me is Jesse Hall. How are you, Jesse?
Good morning. I'm doing good.
Yeah, morning after the Saturday night victory for the Packers over the Panthers, 24-16, which I guess to me, the most disappointing part of that number is 24 points against the Panthers. But I got to say, 2 weeks in a row, the Packers have gone up against defenses that coming in, okay, yeah, we should be able to crush these guys. And I thought those defenses played really well. I thought the Panthers, especially on the back end, the coverages they had made a lot of sense. And, you know, you talked about it, especially in your Know the Foe article, the pass rush could potentially cause some problems. You specifically spoke about Burns, and I mean, he got the best of Bakhtiari on a play. What, they get 5 sacks on Rodgers?
Yep, 5 sacks and pressure all day.
And to be fair, there were plays where the offensive line were held up and Rodgers had tons of time. But yeah, it was interesting to see how stark of a contrast you could have just in the same game against the same guys. How you could, oh yeah, there's Rodgers. He's got so much space that he can run into the end zone. Or, oh wow, there's Rodgers on the ground again. And, all in the same half.
Yeah, it really was a game of two halves, right? There's a lot going on in this game. I know we're going to hit a lot of points, but yeah, it was just first half. Everything was clicking. It was looking good. We were moving the ball like we wanted to, right? Like at will. Made it look easy. Running game was rolling. Aaron Jones killed it in the first half. And at the end of the first half, it kind of went going downhill. In the second half, I don't know. Sometimes it just seems like we get a little too cute or try to outsmart ourselves and just change things up. And I don't know. These little quick hitters out to the wide receivers on the outside. Okay, it works once in a while, but you can't do it 3 plays on the same drive. So, it's just tail two halves.
So starting off with the offensive line, I thought for good stretches of that game, both of the tackles played really well, Bakhtiari and Wagner. And there were times when the three interior linemen, handled some stunts really well. But there were other times where, they were allowing some pressure or they just weren't getting the space on some run plays. But for the most part, I thought all the linemen had good plays. Lucas Patrick was probably, he seemed like the weak link in this game. Definitely seen him have better games. He still was able to make key blocks at times, but there were a lot of times where he was, the guy allowing penetration and pressure. Maybe expect a bit more from Lucas Patrick, but I do say for a player that wasn't really expected to be a starter for the amount of snaps that he's played this year, and he's been dealing with a toe injury, I believe, for close to about a month now. Maybe this is by far the most snaps he's ever played in his career. Is he maybe starting to hit that wall?
I don't know. Like you said, we've been playing this musical chairs with the line quite a bit, right? And it kind of bit us a little bit this week. I don't think they played bad. It just, we didn't hold up the whole game. That was the biggest part. Like, yep, did our business early, did our business at times, and then all of a sudden, bang, just big time breakdowns. So, and like Bach, I thought, he's one of the best in the business, right? But he hasn't given up a sack all year. He got beat on a few plays. Like, he struggled in this game a little bit too. So it just seemed like they're out of sync. The whole second half, they're out of sync. The whole team, whole offense.
Yeah, this didn't seem like lethargic like against the Jags. This really did seem like the Panthers playing up to the competition, right? Like looking at the records, a 10-win team, a 4-win team, and the Panthers kind of, okay, we want to prove ourselves against who is currently right now the best team in the NFC, or at least in the standings is at the top. Although I would probably argue still the best team in the NFC. maybe bias. But I was really impressed by a lot of what the Panthers did, and aside from just the pass rush, again, there's so many teams have been letting Adams off the hook, just sending him out in one-on-one coverage, and it just makes it so easy that Packers really, a lot of games pass the ball at will from Rodgers to Adams. Panthers did a great job. If Adams was going out beyond the line of scrimmage, there was often double teams, certainly on key plays, third downs. And the one thing I maybe would have liked to see the Packers do more of, and maybe have Matt LaFleur kind of geared more towards this, or I don't know if this is more Hackett's area of who, who's where, but putting Adams in the slot seemed to be the one way to get him in one-on-one more often. And then, you know, you still risk, okay, maybe a linebacker coming in and helping, but you maybe prefer that rather than two defensive backs covering him. Let him use that athleticism and speed to kind of outrun linebackers if he can beat a guy one-on-one, right? So, and I think that those were some of his best plays. They targeted him 10 times, so like at a certain point, you know, the Panthers could double all they want. They're still gonna find ways to get the ball in his hands. 7 catches, but only 42 yards. That's not even 7 yards of reception. Six and a half yards of reception is quite under from where Adams is normally capable of operating from. I thought the Panthers did really an exceptional job in the secondary, because some of those sacks were, you know, it took a lot of time. Like, this wasn't just a quick pressure, someone blew an assignment. Like, this is, there's nobody open and there's nothing to do. And you know, coverage sacks that there was, you know, at least one or two of those 5 were due to that. So I thought that the scheme that the Panthers secondary had going in was great, and the execution was maybe even better.
First things first, yeah, the Panthers, you know, throw the record out. The Packers beat them by 8. That's more than the Chiefs and the Saints beat them combined. So this team is in games. They're not getting train wrecked by anybody. They come to battle. They play hard. Tip my hat to them. That good for them, you know. And like I said earlier, it looked like it was going to be a rout. They adjusted. You know, they changed things up, and they were a tough out in the second half. And, you know, as mad as Aaron Rodgers was, and as mad as we are as fans, how it looked, they played good football. You know, there's two teams out there playing. It's not just, you know, an NFL team taking on a high school team. That team came to play, and they're decent. Smart way they played Adams. I was a little bit surprised that we didn't try to go over the top a little bit more. This defense likes to play downhill. They have athletes, you know, that young guys that are aggressive that want to play forward, keep everything in front of them. And we kept playing right into that with these quick hitters, you know, which pressure does matter too. And they're trying to get the ball out of Aaron Rodgers' hand. But sooner or later, I was expecting like a double move by Adams, or try to get MVS on a double move and hit something on the sideline, you know, and try to beat these aggressive players. And we just didn't do it. It was just really weird how we attacked them. A lot of it, like I said, goes to how they played us, but it's just like we went into a shell and we're afraid to, you know, just, which we did have a lead, and that's, you know, where was the all gas, no break? And it just seemed like it was a little bit more break and no gas at times. But running game was great in the first half. Jamal Williams goes down. Dylan comes in, gets one carry for 18 yards, and then he was never on the field again, which give the kid some more carries. You know, he looked really good. Just seemed like, tale of two halves. First half, you know, everything was clicking. The second half, it was a lot of head scratching and a lot of not good execution by us and good execution by the Panthers.
And I mean, yeah, it seems like they just shut down Valdes-Scantling completely. One target, no catches. I was saying that the one thing that looked like it was kind of working early was Robert Tonyan. And then he didn't get a single target in the second half. That's maybe the one part where I could fault the Packers in terms of their execution, is that that was the one where they were kind of exploiting, knowing that because Adams and Valdes-Scantling were committing so much attention, that Tonyan was really the answer, and then they just went away from it. That's maybe the one thing I'm baffled by. Like, why wasn't he made an emphasis? Did, you know, the Panthers see, okay, they score, you know, he scored the touchdown on, and then they just sort of gave all this extra attention towards him. It didn't really seem like that. It's because they were still able to provide that double team on Adams pretty consistently. So, yeah, I would have liked to see more Tonyan because it was working so much.
Yeah, I agree. It just seemed those are the little quick ones that was working. You know, the running game's going and you get to flare him out into the flats. He's a tough matchup, you know, and that went away. Lazard with that god-awful drop that he had. You know, Rodgers kind of went in old Rodgers mode and stayed away from him. And it was kind of tunnel vision what we were doing. And it played right into what the Carolina wanted us to do. So, yeah, I'm happy that it was in the regular season that we had this clunker, because let them get mad. Let them fix some of these mistakes. You know, see how we come out next week. You know, you can live and learn right now, but there's only 2 more games left. So hopefully that stinker in the second half got out of our system.
I wonder if the first round bye is the player who it might impact the most is Alan Lazard. He does not seem like the same. Like, he still seems like he's dealing with it, because he wasn't dropping passes like this before he got hurt. So I wonder if the injury is still lingering, because there was expectations. I mean, they first said indefinitely, like, is this going to be season ending? Like, we pondered that, and, you know, he ended up missing close to 2 months, but I almost wonder if that maybe wasn't enough time off. Is he still... You know, he's healthy enough to go out there and play. They don't think he can re-aggravate, but he's still maybe even just mentally not there yet. Is you know, 2 more weeks of the regular season, try and get your best there, and then that week off might really do him some well and really get back to work on it and gain that confidence going into the playoffs.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, yeah, that, you know, like he hasn't been the same. Everything just looks a little bit off, you know, and with, you know, it was a short week again this week, and it's just hard to pick back up where you left off, right? So that extra week is, you know, huge for the Packers. But, yeah, it's just, you know, get guys rested up, but it's also just working on the timing and getting everything right again. So I have confidence in this team. It just seems like some of these clunkers are home clunkers against teams that, you know, we all agree we should just steamroll. But, yeah, they'll get it worked out. I know I got to stay off a lot of the, you know, media forums, because some of these fans are coming out of the woodwork and all this and that. It's like, okay, just take a breath. Carolina played good. We didn't play our best. We can all agree on that. You know, watch next week. I wouldn't be surprised if we come out next week and, you know, just clicking like a well-oiled machine again. And so it really doesn't matter who we play. It just that we got to execute. And Rodgers kind of hit on that. You know, it's just they got to execute.
You know, this is, as you mentioned, a young but talented defensive team. But, you know, it's a veteran, good veteran players kind of all across the offense. Okay, the offensive line, not the greatest. It really has never been. But even, you know, and we talked about it, right? They sacrificed Trey Turner at guard to get Russell Okun to improve themselves at tackle, to increase that pass protection. And Okun didn't play, so they didn't really get to the fruits of that in this game. But DJ Moore returned. And he looked great. I mean, he didn't look like the guy coming off injury. I mean, just based on the amount of drops, and it seemed like the, you know, Curtis Samuel really struggled, and Robbie Anderson kind of really got blanketed out. So then it left DJ Moore as the guy producing. He came up with some really good plays. There was right off, I think was the opening drive or the second drive for the Panthers. I believe it was the second drive that got them into field goal range. Moore made a really great catch on the sideline. I thought King was in really good coverage. It played it really well, and it just Bridgewater put the ball in the right spot. Moore came up with a tough catch. So once that happened, I was like, okay, yeah, he looks healthy. He looks like he's going to be a threat. And even so, with all that firepower, the Panthers only put up 16 points. So I think mass kudos goes to the Packers defense here, who really, you know, Especially in the second half, as the Panthers were getting rolling, and that, you know, the Packers were still able to force them to take long drives and use up clock and kind of have that against the Panthers, you know, take advantage of the big lead that the offense created in the first half, and, you know, don't let them score quick. And I thought they did a masterful job of that. Of any time the Panthers were able to get success, it still forced long possessions.
Yeah, oh, 16 points, and it was only one touchdown, too. So that's big that we finally tightened up in the red zone, because we have sucked this year in the red zone, giving up touchdowns, right? And, you know, we forced a fumble. We're, you know, big stop right there, and we kept them out of the end zone. So the defense played good, got pressure. We were in the backfield. As much as Kirksey, you know, they paid him to be that leader, he didn't wear the green dot this week. I think they're going to start fizzing him out, because Barnes – and Martin show up with a splash play here or there every week. These kids, I really like watching play. And it's when you see Kirksey out there, so, you know, they're just, yeah, he didn't have a terrible game, but there's times where it's like, man, it just that the speed and everything is just not on par with those other two youngsters. But yeah, do you look good? They played Kevin King. Oh man, I thought he had an awful game. Yeah, he was in pretty good position on that play. I thought he mistimed it a little, but yeah, DJ Moore, he's a good player. He's a big play waiting to happen. I don't understand the alligator arms on that one where all we had to do was tackle him and he broke through there. Thank God Savage can run, because that should have been six. But yeah, DJ Moore was great. He abused King. Jair played like Jair again. He just shut everybody out. Robbie Anderson wasn't a factor. And I think he had, what, 2 catches for 24, and that one was a slant on King, which – that was a bad setup. King's never going to win that right there. I don't know why they even, you know, that slant out of the slot, Kevin King can't cover that.
I agree. Why is Sullivan not on that? And but to my also my point, why didn't they use Anderson more that way? Because I thought he was. I mean, in less than half the attempts, the targets that Samuel had, he had over half the yards. Like he seemed more effective than Samuel was. I know Samuel went with the ball in his hands, was able to get it, but he really struggled to catch the football. So I think we got just a little bit of stroke of luck that they weren't using Anderson that way more. But yeah, why is King in the slot?
Yeah, it was weird. You know, from, I don't know, like Mike Pettine, every week it's something different. Like, okay, they're playing way too much zone. And then, you know, now they're starting to play man more. Then, like, in that situation right there, like, especially with the way our safeties are playing, because they've been playing lights out last month. It's like, okay, you know, you see that setup right there. It's like, you think that you'd kind of want to switch the coverage and do something a little bit different, because that's just a mismatch. You do not want King there. But, hey, you know, still held Bridgewater under 300, you know, which, you know, not – the defense played good enough to win. They played good football. We just, you know, kept them on the field way too long in the second half because offense couldn't get going.
Yeah, and I think you touched on it, how both safeties have been playing so well over the last month. You know, that's more my rule. We don't actually have to follow that, but the idea of Packers player of the game, they've already both got it. And it, I almost thought, oh, that's a shame, because either could have maybe had strong consideration for it this game. I thought both played exceptional, and it really gives you a lot of faith. I mean, and it's funny how they both kind of brought them in together, two different means, one via free agency, one via the draft, and they've both really clicked. They both play together really well. I know there hasn't necessarily been as much of the, oh, we're going to kind of freely play both strong and free safeties, like it's going to be confused defense. There hasn't necessarily been a ton of that. There is sometimes, but it just seems like Amos near the line of scrimmage is so great, and Savage from his, you know, center field free safety spot could just impact so many plays with his speed and athleticism. So it does, you know, great to have both, and especially Savage. I mean, right now, what Savage is not even halfway through his rookie contract, and he's already producing like a seasoned pro who gets the game and plays with instinct. So that, you know, clearly the great decision to trade up for him in the draft and take him in the first round, and, you know, reaping the rewards of it, because he's outstanding.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that was the biggest. Everybody knew all the physical tools were there. You know, I think last year, you know, started off quick, got an injury, and never really recovered much. And a lot of it was trusting his instincts and trusting himself. Well, you're seeing that player right now. He's a playmaker, man. I mean, he is affecting the game, making plays. I mean, field tilting plays. It's awesome. And Amos too. Like, that guy is just, you trust him, right? He's that sure safety that he is, might not flash and make all the, you know, splash plays, but he is assignment sure, hard nosed player. They're good back there, man. It's just, and with Jair, they're good there. It's King struggling, and, you know, Sullivan having struggles of late too. So got to clean that up.
And quick on Alexander, I think he ended up in, like, I think what he did, he allow only like two receptions the whole game. I think one was the play where Bridgewater rolled out, and then they had more crossing with him, and Alexander kind of didn't really see him, and he kind of got caught in the middle. Okay, do I pressure the quarterback or do I go and cover? And, you know, Moore catches that pass and he gets a first down and a pretty big chunk out of it. So there was that one. And that's that, you know, that's a really tough position to be in as a defensive back. So really well designed play by the offense to take advantage of that. And I think the other catch was another one on Moore. Yeah, exactly. It was just an underneath, and he came in, made the tackle right away. So it's, you know, outstanding game for Alexander as always. And again, he had the tough assignment of, he didn't necessarily have to move around. Like, wherever he, you know, they kept him to his side. Usually the offense is right side, the defense is left side. And whoever came into his coverage was usually a really good receiver, whether it was most of the time Anderson or Moore. I don't think I saw very much of him on Samuel. They did try and keep Samuel in the slot more. But, you know, you look at the numbers with Moore, okay, yeah, the one big catch against Alexander. But again, it was a really well-designed, well-executed play by the Panthers. Great play by both Bridgewater and Moore to run that really well.
Yeah, I mean, he is human. He gave up a play more than 10 yards first time in how long, can we say that, outside of that, you know, broken coverage touchdown. But yeah, we hit some home runs in the secondary with some picks. That's for sure.
I think the defensive backfield for the Packers, just so many pass knockdowns. I mean, there was what, 5-6 in that game? Maybe more than that, actually. 7, I'm counting on the Pro Football Reference stat sheet. So yeah, they were, the plays were there to be made. Bridgewater, I thought from a quarterback perspective, played well. The ball was put in good spots and the receivers had opportunities to make plays, but a lot of times these defensive backs, whether it was Alexander, Amos had 3 to himself. I mean, these, you know, we already mentioned Savage. Even looking, Sullivan had 1 as well.
And we kept them out of the end zone. That's the biggest part. They shut down when we got down close to the end zone. Hey, hold them to field goals. We score touchdowns. You win.
Though we always talk about Kenny Clark every week. Haven't mentioned his name yet. Almost over 20 minutes into the episode. I thought he had a pretty good game, actually. Maybe not his most impactful snap to snap, but I thought, you know, was consistently able to get off blocks and be out in plays. And there's a few times where other players are making tackles, but because King was in the area, you're forcing either the quarterback or the running back into, you know, cutting to different spots, having to force them outside more and allow, you know, your defensive backs to come in and make tackles. So I thought Clark, you know, just keep doing what you're doing. And even when Clark wasn't on the field, I remember one play, Preston Smith got a sack and Kingsley Keke forced a double team. I mean, that's what you want to see, that even when Clark's not on there, they still kind of, you know, you force that extra lineman into the middle and let those edge rushers exploit. So, well, I mean, I'm looking at Kingsley Keke. He had 2 quarterback hits. That's all he comes on the stat sheet. I thought when he was on the field, he at least drew enough attention. And sometimes that's what you want from a defensive tackle. It isn't even production. It's drawing that attention and allowing other players to really impact the game.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, even Dean Lowry got his hand on a ball and hit it at the line of scrimmage, too. So, yeah, Kenny Clark doing Kenny Clark things. Like you're saying, you know, these guys might not show up on the stat sheet every week unless you're Aaron Donald. But, yeah, they're flushing plays. They're wreaking havoc. They're changing direction. Yeah, that one, obviously he wasn't going to catch Bridgewater, but he flushed him out to the sideline where he took away, you know, Bridgewater wasn't looking downfield anymore. He was run for his life and picked up maybe 0.5 yard. So, yeah, Kenny Clark just doing his thing, man. Like, you want to double him, okay, then that frees up plays where Kamal Martin comes slashing in and makes a huge hit at the line of scrimmage. You know, and that's all keeping those guys clean because they're trying to double and he's eating up got blocks. So, Kiki's playing really good. Same kind of thing. He is explosive enough coming off the line where
these guys got to make a decision. You know, do you let him get through and get a hit, or do you have to, you know, give him extra attention? So, yeah, I really like how this D's playing.
And so, and I think the linebackers trending up as well, and it maybe part of that is seeing less Christian Kirksey on the field, unfortunately. But you know, the real unfortunate is that Chris Barnes did leave with an injury, and then we, you know, kind of forced Kirksey back in the lineup when they didn't want him. And I thought, you know, there were plays where he'd missed tackles, but there were also plays where Kirksey made some plays. I mean, he ended up with 9 combined tackles, which led the team. So, when you're out there that much, you're going to be making plays. Packers player of the game this week, though, I think it has to be on defense, right?
I was going to go with J.K. Scott.
That's true. Oh, that last punt really did boom it.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, well, you put, what, 2 or 3 inside the 10. Now, you know, the coverage on that one, let him get back out to the 25. But he had his best game of the year, in my opinion, for how bad he struggled. He looked pretty good. But, yeah, you can coax me into someone on the defense. I can get on board.
So I think if it, you know, at halftime, just because of how well he was handling Burns up to that point, I would have maybe said Bakhtiari. But then, yeah, the second half, not so great of a game. And I think, again, the way the defense – This offense, some really talent, you know, I don't know if you can necessarily say high octane, high powered, but a lot of talent for sure. And to hold him to 16 points, I think was great. I think there's 2 options. Even though he did allow the big reception to Moore there, again, on a really tricky play, I'd still consider Alexander just because of, you know, this wasn't just about, okay, just follow this guy, right? This was, okay, you're constantly going to have to be dealing with different receivers, you know, maybe snap in, snap out. Depending on how the Panthers move them around, I thought he handled that really well, and he handles everything really well. I mean, it's finally time we give him one. But I also think a player who really told the story of this game was Chris Barnes. I mean, they didn't score a touchdown until after Barnes got hurt, and I mean, they almost scored a touchdown. And I think maybe the biggest play of the game, Bridgewater coming in on a QB sneak and jumping in and getting right on the line, basically. Like, he was inches away, and Barnes being able to have the strength and the wherewithal and the vision to knock that out and force a fumble. That, to me, is that kind of whole sequence of the Packers score a touchdown, the Panthers come down, get a long drive, almost score a touchdown, but fumble. And instead of it being 14-10 potentially, instead King returns at half the field. The Packers do the rest on offense, do the rest of the way, and it's suddenly it's 21-3. Such a massive swing from what would have been a 4-point lead to then becoming a 17-point lead or an 18-point lead. And because of how you could see his injury and him leaving impacted the game, that the Packers defense didn't quite have that same vigor. You know, Mike Davis started getting some good runs, and I think they really missed Chris Barnes there from the middle linebacker spot. And so even though he only played about half the game, I think I saw about 45% of the defensive snaps, I'd give him player of the game because of how, you know, his injury clearly told the story of the game. When he was in, they shut them out of the end zone completely. When he was out, the Panthers offense started to get a bit more production.
Yeah, you sold me 100%. We'll save Jair when he shuts down like a Michael Thomas or something in the playoffs. But yeah, you're right. Barnes, when he's out there, he's making plays. For an undrafted rookie, this kid is showing up. Yeah, that when he knocked that ball out at the end zone, that is a savvy vet play. And how often does that happen? You know, of course, you're not supposed to stick the ball out and all that, but he hit that sucker out, and that was a two-score swing right there. That could have potentially, you know, changed the whole focus of the game, which, you know, put us up big. So Chris Barnes it is. I'm on board.
All right. And now all we hope for is that, you know, Chris Barnes' injury isn't too serious, because you got to think next game is the Titans. We know Derrick Henry's a threat. And, I mean, I'm actually next week if Jair Alexander taking on A.J. Brown, one of the true bright young wide receivers in this game right now. I'm going to be really excited for that. We'll talk about that in the preview, but I think Barnes is going to be especially needed against Derrick Henry. This is going to be a really tough matchup, and even you hope that A, he can play, but B, that he can be close to 100% to play because he's going to need it. But we'll touch on that in future episodes. And to look for those future episodes, you can, of course, always follow and find us on Twitter at @FPC_Packers. Jesse's account is @Hall_JHall1212. I'm @SenraSays. As always, download the full Press Coverage app, available for free on Android and iOS stores. You can get access to all the written content, all of our great podcasts, and of course, the access to the Full Press Radio Network, all that for free on the Full Press Coverage app, which is free. Again, Android and iOS stores, Full Press Coverage app. And again, morning here. This is just an appetizer. Saturday night game for the Packers, but there's still a whole nother week of football to be played. A lot of games, a lot of playoff implications, and looking forward to all of it, Jesse.
Yep. I think we covered everything. It's going to be a fun day. I don't have much to say, but my sidekick sitting here with me, my 12-year-old daughter, she wants to say,
"Go Pack, go."
Yeah, that's always a great thought to hear here on the Full Press Packers Pod.